Evan Coleman, a terrorism consultant and author of Al-Qaeda's Jihad in Europe, urges against jumping to conclusions that the same group ordered both bombings, although the coincidences, he says, are strong.
I suggest that it may be a little bit too early to draw firm conclusions, but it seems a little bit of a strong coincidence that these two events would have happened so close together, both involving now Pakistani nationals. It's the kind of coincidence that usually proves to be a connection.
But 10 years ago, terrorists blew up a federal building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in what was, until 2001, the worst act of terrorism on U.S. soil. Commentators immediately placed the blame on Islamic radicals. The culprits turned out to be right-wing American extremists. Don Hamilton, acting director of the National Memorial Institute for the Prevention of Terrorism, a government-funded research organization in Oklahoma City, also cautions against drawing premature conclusions. But he notes that Al-Qaeda attacks have come in waves.
Al-Qaeda has always done things in sort of waves. That is, they're not a steady drumbeat kind of an organization, with the exception of of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, where you have a very different dynamic in a country in the midst of a war with a major insurgency intertwined with it.
But why attack Egypt, which is a Muslim country? Analysts note that Al-Qaeda is opposed to governments in Egypt and Saudi Arabia for being insufficiently Islamic in nature. So attacking high-scale resorts is a blow to tourism, a big source of income in Egypt. Mr. Coleman says the clue to an Al-Qaeda link in the Egyptian bombings comes from Iraq. He notes that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, thought to be the head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, released a videotape of Al-Qaeda's interrogation of the Egyptian ambassador to Iraq, whom the terrorists captured and later killed.
The same day as the Sharm el-Sheikh bombings, Zarqawi's Al-Qaeda faction in Iraq released a video of the interrogation of the former Egyptian ambassador to Baghdad, who was recently killed by Zarqawi. And in this interrogation, the ambassador specifically asked about Jewish presence in the Sinai, and he's asked which areas of the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt, which are, you know, labeled as Muslim land, which areas are there Jews? And what does he say? His response is from Taba to Sharm el-Sheikh.
A series of coordinated bombings last year at Taba, another popular Egyptian resort, killed 34 people, including Israeli tourists. But analysts say any direct coordination between the Egyptian and British bombers is unlikely because of Al-Qaeda's structure, or perhaps the lack of one. Many terrorism experts now lean to the theory that Al-Qaeda is not a top-to-bottom organization taking orders from a central authority, but is rather a grouping of scattered cells with a great deal of operational autonomy. Analyst Don Hamilton calls this concept leaderless resistance, and he says it was used by U.S. right-wing groups to avoid government surveillance.
You'd make yourself a part of a common cause, but you wouldn't report to anyone. The logic is that good law enforcement and intelligence agencies can penetrate command and control systems. But if there is no command and control system, it's much harder. There's nothing to penetrate.
But experts do not discount that attacks may be launched by groups that have no affiliation or loyalty to Al-Qaeda, but are nevertheless sympathetic to their brand of Islamic radicalism. Gary Thomas, VOA News, Washington.